God working with us. Through us, for us, and with us. We've been talking about the table of the Lord for the last 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, about the Trinity. And I was prompted to share about how that table of God, that work of the flow of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with us, overflows into every part of our lives. And particularly this week, I was just exercised to look at how that works the healing power of God into our lives. The healing power of God into our lives. I had a conversation with somebody regarding healing after church on Sunday. I was just awakened to the fact that the gifts of God are waiting to be exercised in healing. And during the week, I ended up having a couple more conversations about healing. And so I thought this is something that we need to look at today and see how God works with us in this grace of healing. It is a grace of God. And then I remembered a book that I'd read many, many years ago, back in the 80s, called The Real Faith, written by a man called Charles S. Price. And I remembered it quite a few months ago, could have been last year sometime, Dawn Wallace, who was my PA in the late 80s, said to me, "Remember that book of Charles S. Price?" I said, "I certainly do." I said, I bought a whole stack of them. She said, "You bought 50 and you shared them out into the fellowship for the families." And she said, "I've never forgotten that book." Well, I discovered that book again, and I'll talk about that shortly, about that man's ministry of healing and the understanding God gave to him. But I just want to read a scripture here, or mention a scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. That it's God that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that word good pleasure simply means of what he sees as being good, what his wish and heart is for our lives, what his desire. He's working in us to will and to be involved in and connect with him on what he sees as that good thing in our lives that is happening, that he's doing. So we can be in sync with his heart. So we say, "Well, what good things will I ask for?" Well, look, it's okay. Ask for things from God. And this is where I'm going today with healing. Ask for the healing. But mostly, ask for him first. The most excellent way is to ask for him, because he's the one that does it. And it's being with him, him working with us, that allows the life to flow. When Paul speaks in the epistles in 2 Corinthians, he says, "We were workers together with God." He never saw himself as just an agent, just somebody that had a franchise, had to go out there and use the name, the label. It was actually total dependence upon the source. And he was the vehicle, the vessel for that. So we reach out to touch him. like a sick woman did once in the Bible story. I spoke about this some weeks ago, and she was healed. Why was she healed? Well, she reached through that mindset of separation and said, I am going to touch Jesus. When she did that, Jesus said, power just flowed from me. So he is the source. He is the power. And it's the touch of him that brought about that healing in her life. And we can touch his presence. If we get through that mindset of separation that our human kind of flesh tries to get us into, locks us into having our thoughts on so many other things and worrying about them, we can go through that, touch him, know his reality with us, within us, working in us to will and to do what he sees as good, and then saying, yes, Lord, you first, you do your work, then power must and does flow because you're there touching him. Whatever he sees as the good thing will flow through you and into your life. So the most excellent way is to touch God heart to heart. So, I want to just repeat a statement I recently made following on from those weeks I've been speaking about the Trinity and the flow of life. And there it is in your notes. We're encouraged to approach God's throne of grace with boldness and confidence in times of need, while still recognizing the obvious scale of difference between his perfection and greatness and our imperfection and weakness. So we see ourselves as weak, imperfect. We see him as great and totally perfect, and we're told to come confidently and boldly. We do well to stay in this state of what I call confident helplessness. Those who forsake their confidence in God risk leaving things to fate. And that's what happens in the world. Well, I've got no confidence in God. Where's God? Who's God? And so there's a sense of hopelessness. And that's what it's like without faith. But those who deny their helplessness, because we do have to see that we're helpless without God, they risk trying to manufacture results through relying on religious formulas. I fasted, I tithed, I claimed the scripture, or I believed. So why didn't it work? If I believed, why didn't the healing come? Believing and faith aren't always the same. You can believe in your head and not believe in your heart. Not know in your heart. That's the difference between faith and presumption. In one conversation I was having through the week, there had been something going over in my mind about faith and presumption. Because I would never refuse to pray. I'll always press in and pray for healing. Always. Because we're told to ask. And if I get the opportunity to pray for somebody, I'll pray for them, even over the phone. I'll pray for healing. Put that in God's hands. So one end of the scale, I see it as being negative and foolish to not pray and trust God. I see that as being the wrong thing to do. On the other end of the scale, there is presumption to say, well, I've claimed it, so therefore it's absolutely done and it's happened and I'm not sick anymore. And people presume, without really knowing what touching God means, thinking that that formula, having said the words, will do it, and there can be great disappointment. And the power hasn't been flowing. So how do we know that faith is in operation? It's the same with our ordinary Christian walk. How do we know that we're in the presence of God? Is it about feeling something? It is about knowing something in your heart. And it's about reaching out and going through the barrier of feeling separated from God and placing yourself helplessly in his mighty love and provision that will allow your heart to touch his heart, and his words of life will flow and faith will grow and the anointing and the gift will begin to operate. Because it's him. It's him doing it. So the answer is clear. There's a flow of intertwined, shared life with the source of all life and love. And there's an intelligent approach to this relationship of intimate, shared faith. You approach it intelligently. You can say it is real. And what is shared faith? Let me say from the outset, the faith that you are invited to operate in so far as healing is concerned, is not your faith. It's not just your believing in your head because you've read it. It is the faith of Jesus as a gift to you. And you have to go to the giver to get the faith. And you ask for it. It's not Old Testament faith. Totally different in the Old Testament. See, God's work is always perfect. Always perfect. If we thought that God had forgotten or that God wasn't involved in our lives or in our circumstances or in our condition, we could think he didn't care. But God is always perfectly doing his goodness in our lives, always. If we thought the opposite, that God wasn't doing perfectly his will from his heart into our lives, what hope would we have? What if we thought God was not in control? What sort of chaos would we have in our minds if we thought that maybe he can get most things right? God could be pretty good and get a lot of things right, but he's not perfect. He hasn't done a complete work on the cross, so maybe there's some things he just can't do. That is unacceptable. There's no way we can be negative about the goodness of God because something is not happening that we think should be happening. God's way is perfect. And to assert ourselves against that and say, now look, the things that I think should happen is really the perfect thing, is getting out of sync and getting into confusion. So number one, let's establish he is always doing a perfect work. while I'm here speaking now, I know that God is doing his perfect work, his way in each one of our lives. For me to depart from that, I might as well give up, pack my bags, go home. And so, oh, it might happen sometimes. He is always reaching out to touch back what we are reaching out to touch him in. He's always there. His heart is always waiting to be touched. Where are we? Where is our heart? That's why I'm saying God will delight to answer things for us and give us things, but the most excellent way is to seek him, touch him, receive him, and he will give us himself, and then the flow of life translates out into the things that he does and purposes and desires for us, and then our heart starts to say, I feel I desire that too. Yes, thank you, Lord. In all things I can say thank you. So New Testament faith is a gift from God, not Old Testament faith. There was no gift of faith in the Old Testament. There were people that were faithful. You can read about them in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. You know why there was no gift of faith? Because there wasn't Jesus there in the Old Testament giving them his life. We have to ask for the gift of faith. The Old Testament, Jesus operated as the New Testament in one person, but he operated in the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant was still in operation when Jesus was on earth. The New Covenant hadn't come for people, but he would bring it. So the heaven of God is here. The kingdom of heaven is here now. It's amongst you. He was there. He said, you know, if I cast out demons by my presence, then you know the kingdom of heaven is among you. So he was there. But when he healed people, he would quite often have respect to the law as well, because they didn't have that gift in the Old Testament. They had to go to the priest if they had leprosy. They had to do the cleansing. They then had to wait and do certain sacrifices. Then they had to come back to the priest afterwards and say, all right, I've done all of that, all the ritual, all the formulas, all the methods. And the priest would say, yes, that's okay. Now, God doesn't give us formulas and methods in the new covenant. He touches our life. But you know what he did when he healed the lepers? He said, you know, you go back to the priest and show them that you're cleansed. I mean, that is respect. But it was he that did the healing. He did the healing. It's a gift from God. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, in my body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, by grace you are saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Don't try to work up faith. Don't try and force yourself to believe. If you don't have faith, what do? You ask God to give you his faith. If we don't come in helplessness, and yet in total confidence, then we're not partakers of his life flow. We're looking at it from a place of a distance of, well, you're up there and I'm down here, and if I get it right and if I get all these things right, then maybe you'll do this good thing for me. No, we're part of his life. Our heart is beating with his, and that will instruct our mind to be in harmony with his thoughts and his life. That's Christianity. And that's his gift to us. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said, have the faith of God. Wow. Now, he couldn't quite give it to them then, but that was what he was prophesying. And that word have doesn't just mean have it lying around. That means own the faith of God. I'm going to stop right now for a moment. I challenge you right now to think in your head and then get your head to connect with your heart and say, I'm going to commit myself to owning God's faith. And I'm not going to start getting upset and hopeless. I'm not talking about helpless, I'm talking about hopeless. I'm not going to give up hope because I'm thinking my faith isn't good enough. It's not about your faith. Own the faith of God. If you seek, you'll find. If you ask, it will be given to you. What scripture am I using there? That's Luke. And he's saying, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? In other words, own it, ask, receive that power of the Holy Spirit. Don't feel that there's something wrong with my faith. Don't even use your faith as a measure. Just simply say, I need the faith of God. We're getting there, right? And that couldn't really be said on the earth until Jesus arrived. And then he said, that's what you're going to get, my faith. Acts chapter 14, a little story of Paul and the disciples. When they went together into the synagogue, verse 1, and Iconium, they again spoke in such a way before a great gathering of people that a multitude of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who did not believe stirred up the Gentiles and negatively affected their minds against Paul and Barnabas and others. But they continued speaking, confident that God was with them. You have to be confident that God is with you. If you're coming to ask God for anything, be confident that he's with you. Don't think, well, I'm separated from God because look at my track record. God says, I've wiped that problem out. Now I'm with you. Now let's talk. You know, in the old days, there used to be bank managers. And if you needed some attention to get your money, you had to go and see the bank manager. And I used to work in the, I had a shop and I worked, and the bank was across the road, and I think I've got everything ready. When can I get that appointment? I got to know the guy, was as friendly as I could be. Then I got that appointment with the bank manager. I thought, I've got about 20 minutes, half an hour, I'm going to get it all right because this is an important little interview. I can get what I need from the bank manager. And you wouldn't waste a minute, you'd be prepared. You'd go to the bank manager. And that would become the priority of your life. You know, we've got Jesus. If we don't go to him and he's there, you don't have to book an appointment. You don't have to get all prepared. I hope I've got the list right. You just have to be there and say, here we are. And he says, what have you got on your mind? I've got all this stuff. He says, let's talk. Let's just sit together for a while. You see, you go to the source. You don't just think about how am I going to organise this thing to happen? How can I make sure that this is going to work for me? No, you go to the person who does it all. And he does the work. Jesus said to the disciples, cast the net out on the other side. And they brought in this great big haul of fish. And they were so happy they got this great fish. Who caught the fish? And they said, well, we did. We put the net out. No, Jesus caught the fish. Yeah, but we got it right. If you'd have got it wrong, I would have dragged the thing in myself. Jesus caught the fish. He's doing the work. He's the healer. He gets touched. Power flows in his time, his way. Anyway, where was I? I was in the middle of a story. So the Jews affected their mind. Verse 3, they continued speaking confident that God was with them, and God gave witness to their message of grace by granting signs and wonders to be done through their hands. They didn't say, look what we've done. God did it. He granted grace. The message was grace. He granted signs and wonders. And that was God, his purpose, his way. Verse 4, but the city was divided in their support, some supporting the Jews and some supporting the apostles. But when violence was planned against them by some of the Jews and the Gentiles to stone them, they were made aware of the plan, so they escaped to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the outlying regions. They were made aware of the plan that they were going to get stoned, so they escaped. Why didn't they just claim the scripture, Psalm 91? If you dash your foot against a stone, I'll lift you up, you don't have to worry. Where was their faith? That wasn't God's plan for them to stand on that scripture. They probably would have got stoned. Or why didn't they just say, oh, we're going to claim Isaiah 54. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Throw your stones. God would have said, look, I told you to escape. Get out of there. I want you in Lycaonia. So they went there, and there they continued to preach the gospel. Paul tried as much as he could in his ministry to hear what God was saying, and he stayed with God as often as he could get that appointment with the bank manager. He was there with the Lord, talking it through, being there on the inside. And he continued to preach the gospel. And at Lystra, there was a man sitting in the crowd who had no strength in his feet and had never walked, being lame from birth. The man was listening to Paul speak. And Paul looked at the man and perceived, the word is discerned, that's a spiritual thing, that's a gifting of the Spirit. He got a witness in his spirit that the man had faith to be healed. So was this some famous guy that was sitting there with his lame feet, some guy that had been telling everybody, hey, let me tell you about my faith. Oh, man, have I got some great faith to talk to you about? No, he was there, lame from birth, sitting there. What did Paul perceive? He saw that the man had faith to be healed. That was God's faith. Jesus gifted that man with faith. Paul was in the flow with God. He perceived the faith and he said, get up and walk. And the man got up. You see, it's something that you live or you don't live. Paul said to the man in a loud voice, stand up on your feet. The man leaped up and started walking. So who did the healing? Was it Paul? Paul saw that this man had been gifted with faith. Something resonated in him, a witness of the Spirit. He saw faith there. The Holy Spirit, the one Spirit, says, tell the man to get up. Now, some people call that a word of knowledge. I call it a word of faith or a word of healing. He just got a word. Tell the man to get up, and he did it. And that's, sometimes you think, is this me? Is it you, Lord? I'll tell you what, if anybody asks me to pray, I'm not going to say, no, I'm not going to pray until I get a word. My goodness, they'll be waiting for years. Maybe I won't get a word. Maybe I'll be too busy, distracted with my own stuff. I'll tell you what, I'll go and I'll say, Lord, give me faith here. And I think, I'm working in you. I just hear, this is what I believe is saying. I'm working in you to will and to do of what I want here. So just trust me and
Don't back off. Don't feel you've got to work up your faith. Just bring me in. Invite me, please. I'm with you. You're with me. Let's go. And I'll pray. And I'll leave the rest to God. It's no struggle. No struggle. And there have been times when I've perceived faith and I said, oh, that's a healing. I was in the hospital when my son fell. He was 18 months old, fell off a deck onto his head on the ground. And we said, we'd better take him to the hospital because he was groaning. We thought his stomach, we didn't know how it landed. He climbed under the thing, under the balcony. We thought his stomach must be injured because he was grunting. We took him to the Sound Hospital. We lived in Taramara. We were at Bible College. These were great lessons of faith at Bible College. We didn't think that they'd have to be worked out in this kind of a reality. He was in intensive care, badly damaged in his head. It cracked his skull. And we waited there and waited. I'd come back every day and I'd sit in the waiting room. There was a Gideon's Bible there. And this is about day four. And his temperature was high. They had fans all over him. And I was saying that I was praying and there were Christian people there in the intensive care. And we just hung in and hung in and hung in. And one day I opened up the Gideon's Bible and read, "Though he fall, he shall not be cast down." And I realized that was a word of faith. Life began to flow. I walked into the intensive care and I said, he's going to be okay. And there's a young Samoan male nurse there, and he said, it's all right, we're looking after him. I said, no, he's been healed. I mean, first year Bible College. You know, he's been healed. And I got that look, yes, thank you, brother. But I knew it. I knew it. I had a word from God. It had come. Faith in it was real, and he was right. I had to. Came back. He was out of there. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, but when you get faith, you just say, that's it. Get up and walk. Get out of this hospital. Do it. But you know what? You've got to do something. You touch Jesus. You don't touch the problem, you touch him. And he pours power out and begins to touch the situation. And when you're there in his presence, you will then own his faith. And you may sense there's a timing involved. But you may say, well, all right, I'm going to lay hands on the sick here and they shall recover. There's a scripture that I love to use, not abuse, use. Because then I'm putting it in God's hands. Let there be a recovery here. Jesus is always there doing the work. You are working with him. If Jesus said to you, feed the 5,000, you'd say, oh, I've read about that in the Bible, it's not going to happen again. If he said it, you'd better do it because you'll feed 5,000. But he will do it. But if you say, I've read that in the Word, I've read you can feed 5,000, you're going to try and feed 5,000, you might feed 5. It's when God speaks. And he will sometimes speak sovereignly without even telling you, and there'll be healings everywhere because he will come and give people the healing where they are. I've been in meetings where there was somebody sitting next to me who had a frozen shoulder. And he said, all those people with shoulder injuries, put your hands up. And I thought, well, this person can't put their hand up. They put their hand up and it was healed. And that man had faith. He perceived that there was faith there for that. He had a word from God to do that. There's a gift in operation. That's beautiful to be in. I trusted that man was in touch with God, that he'd been waiting on God for that. It didn't happen the next night. Hardly anything happened the next night. Anyway, the point is faith is perceiving and discerning that God is doing something involving you at that moment. Is God doing anything for you at this moment while we're here? He jolly well is. I don't know what it is, but he's doing something good because he is perfect. And he never stops working for good on your behalf. He never stops. But if your mind is somewhere else and your problem is telling you this is unacceptable that I'm in this situation and I won't have any more of it, God, and you'd better change it, God's saying, will you change the channel, please? Will you just change? You're on the wrong channel. I'm working for good in your life. Okay, I'm here. I haven't gone. Paul knew that God was with him and doing things in people's lives. I know he's drawing us all to him now, inviting us, challenging us, caring, blessing, healing us, even as we sit here. It's his goodness, imparting wisdom, compassion, consolation, faith. Why? Because that's what he does. That's what he does. He's in the business of giving you his life that flows with blessing. We're either in the business of receiving that or trying to organize it ourselves. And we can't smile. Now, okay, Paul lived in this powerful bubble of life and love that he shared with Jesus. The bubble never bursts. There's a flow of intertwined shared life with the source of all life and love, and an intelligent approach to this relationship of intimate faith. It's intimate faith. Now, God will heal people when they're not looking for healing. As in Gosford, 1978, and we had a visiting speaker. He was the leader of the denomination, and I'd invited him to come and speak just at the communion before he got up to speak. I just thought, would anybody like to just come forward? God wants to just touch your heart and give you the sense of being really cleansed today. I thought it'd only be 5 minutes. People came forward, and a guy came up, was wheeled up in a wheelchair. And I thought, all right, well, the deacons and people are here, and that we're having prayer, and people were praying for different ones. I wasn't praying for this man in the wheelchair, I was praying for other people. And then I saw one of the deacons saying to this man, come up out of the wheelchair, and I thought, oh, Rick, don't do that. Please leave the man in the wheelchair. But he got the guy, and he's got somebody to help him, and he got him to stand up. And he said, I'm going to pray for you. And the guy was falling back. And he said, what can I pray for you for? The guy didn't ask for healing. He said, I just want my heart cleansed, like the pastor said. He said, all right. And I'm thinking, okay, just let's do what we said we're going to do. Anyway, the guy said, you're cleansed in Jesus' name. The guy put his hands up, pushed the wheelchair out of the way, and I got the shock of my life. He got healed. He didn't come for healing. He came for his heart to be cleansed. That was in the Gosford Star during that week. The guy was healed, threw his wheelchair away. He lost $90,000 of insurance because he is now healed. And it was a big story. Now, I didn't say, we're going to have healing today. I wanted the preacher, the poor preacher, the visiting preacher. He says, well, that's a pretty hard act to follow. I forgot what the poor guy preached about. Probably a very good sermon. But everybody was around at this place, this fellow's place the next day. People were going praying for him. We met the family, and he told us his story about his insurance. Smoking a cigarette. Yeah, he just happened to be there that day. God does things. We sometimes just look like we're spectators, but you see, what we're doing is we're putting Jesus in the first place. We're saying, come to him, talk to him, press into him, touch him. And God says, well, I'm just going to surprise you. I just have to say this. There is a link there, www.hopefaithprayer.com/books. The Real Faith, Charles P.
price. I started looking for that book. I didn't have much time. I had to work Friday and Saturday, but I found it. Got on the web. I looked in my office first, couldn't find it anywhere. A lovely old battered book. The Real Faith. I was able to download it for nothing. It's a PDF. And I'm gonna email everybody that's on the email list, and I've got most of them, that link. And I'm also going to email you the actual PDF book, because it's free. You can go on Kindle and get it for 99 cents, or there is a dearer one with a nicer cover. And maybe you can buy it at Curon. But there it is. And I'm just going to read you a little bit from Charles's book. It was written, his ministry was in the 1920s and 30s. A remarkable man, British, but he was ministering in the US for many years. Let me read to you. For years I've known something was wrong. What that something was I have now discovered as the Holy Spirit himself has unfolded before my bewildered eyes a vision of surpassing loveliness. And for the first time I have beheld new beauty and glories of the Lord in the heart of that grace we call faith. I call it a grace because that is just what it is. In our blindness of heart and mind, we have taken faith out of the realm of the spiritual, and without realizing just what we were doing, have put it in the realm of the metaphysical. An army of emotions and desires has driven faith from the chambers of the heart into the cold and unfruitful corridors of the mind. He's got it! More than once I have gone home from some meeting with the shouts of victory ringing in my ears, but I have gone home to weep and cry out of a disappointed heart unto my Lord. The crowds were shouting because of some who were healed, but I was weeping because of those people who dragged their tired, sick bodies back into their homes, just as needy as they were before they came into the services. This revelation has answered my questions. That's his heading. It has solved, there's a space there and he starts giving you a little more revelation, but I'll let you read it for yourself. It's 280 or something pages on the version that I got. This revelation has answered my questions. It has solved my problems. It has deepened my love for my Lord and strengthened my surrender of heart and life to him. It has revolutionized my healing ministry, for it has revealed to me the helplessness of self and the need of the presence, the love, the grace, and the faith of Jesus. So I'm going to send that book out to all who would like it. Thank you, Lord. First of all, we reach out to touch you. And in our helplessness, we confidently come to your throne of grace in time of need, and we ask for your faith in Jesus' name, as your gift to us in whatever concerns us in our circumstances. And we know that as we touch you and we demolish that veil of separation that comes through our heads of thinking of ourselves inferior or too sinful or not worthy, you have done all of that. You've taken that away. We demolish the veil, the separation mindset. We touch you, and Lord, we know we are receiving power from your throne of grace into our situation. And we rejoice and give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.